This is the Kona Edge, the home of Ironman triathletes who dream of qualifying for the World Championships on the Big Island.
Welcome back onto this edition of the Kona Edge. I am Brad Brown. It's good to have you with us, and thanks for all the positive feedback on my chat with Jacob Vissam about his story and how he got into triathlon. I mentioned a little bit about what's been going on here with the Kona Edge, and I've received lots of great feedback via social media. Just search for at the Kona Edge or via email. Brad at the Kona Edge is my email address. That's how you can be in touch with me as well. And yeah, really positive about what's going on, and stressed at the same time, I guess, is probably a good way to describe it. But yeah, thanks for all the love and all the positive vibes that everyone is sending. Today on the podcast, we're going to be talking some swimming and discovering some of the things that Jacob has done to improve his Ironman swim performance over his triathlon career. Time to chat some swimming here on the Kona Edge. We head back to Hong Kong to catch up with Jacob Vissam. Jacob, welcome. Thanks for joining us today.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Jacob, your story is incredible because you got into the sport of triathlon on a drunken night out. 7 months later, did your first Ironman, and you had no swimming background. You literally had to learn to swim. I mean, it's phenomenal to where you are now. Looking back at that, you must think it's incredible.
Yeah. It's been a journey. It's still something. I would say I did the first one without swimming background, and I really suffer, and I still do that. It's still my weakest part. It's definitely my swim, but I'm getting stronger every year. So I hope I can someday be part of, I don't know, middle pack or something.
tell me about what you've sort of worked on over the years to get better in the water. What are some of the things that you felt, coming from someone who didn't have a swimming background, has made a big difference in swimming better?
So the first, you know, the 7 months that I had to the first one, I joined a swim squad, which was very helpful. So I did 1 hour and 15 in Nice, which was pretty good at that time. And then I would say I moved to Asia, and we are in Asia, everyone has their own 25 or 50 meter pool. And I had that, which meant that I was swimming alone every day. So I had absolutely no progress. So what I've done here in Hong Kong is that I've joined a swim group. It's called Swim Lab Asia. And that has just made a huge difference. Swimming with a team in a group, with stronger swimmers than you, where it's just all about see if you can hold on to that feat that makes you strong. And at the same time, you have a coach who, as I've done some video analysts of me, can kind of correct me, you know, not all the time, but just the small fixes, and that understand that you do triathlon. That is, I would say, the you know, a big difference for especially non-swimmers like me.
Tell me about that. The coach knows that you do triathlon. Do you feel there's a big difference between normal sort of pool swimming and being a triathlete?
I think from the coach's perspective, they need to know that you are a triathlete and not a pool swimmer. I think that's super important. Of what do they focus about when they come up with comments to your stroke or something. If they know you are, know that you have to perform open water, I think they coach you differently. So our coach in Swim Lab Asia is also a big part of the triathlon, community in Hong Kong. She's a previous Olympic swimmer, just a pool swimmer. So she also knows that background. But she's now working mostly with triathletes, and I think that's a big difference.
What do you love doing in the water? What are your favorite workouts?
As a non-swimmer, there's absolutely no favorite workout in the water. I can't give you one single exercise or session that I love. Every time I go to the water, I hate it, to be honest. But you know, I think then it's seeing progression, right? When you do your hundreds and you can see that the time goes down, that's a good feeling. Or when you actually can keep up with some feats that you didn't keep up with before. I think that's the good thing. But I don't like anything with the swimming.
I love that you said that, because I get it so often. I get emails from people listening to this, and we chat to so many triathletes who come from swimming backgrounds, and they make it sound so easy. And here's someone, who's saying, you know what, I still hate it. After all these years, I still don't enjoy going to the pool, but it's a necessary evil, and I have to do it. I love that. Thanks for that honesty. I think you're going to make a lot of people's day listening to this podcast.
That's good.
Jacob, as far as things you're working on right now, what is it that you're struggling with and trying to improve in the water?
For me, it's the catch. Everything starts with the catch. And I have a dropping elbow, dropping shoulder that I'm really working on. And it's getting better, but that's something that I work on every day. I think I'm pretty strong in the water. I have a good position, body position, but if your catch is all wrong, then it's wrong from the beginning, and then it goes down to your body, and then you have maybe fixing your legs and everything. So that's what I'm focused on right now.
How many times a week do you generally swim in a big block of training, like in the build up to Cairns now? How many times would you generally swim a week?
What I try to do is two times with the squat, 2 to 3 times on the weekdays, and then I do one open water swim in the weekend here where I live in Hong Kong with some other swimmers. So I would say average 4 times per week.
All right, brilliant. Well, Jacob, it's been great catching up once again. I look forward to talking about your bike next time out. Thanks for your time on the Cone Edge.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Thank you so much for listening to that podcast, and thank you very much to our guest, Jacob Vissam, as well. And don't forget, if you do enjoy the podcast, I haven't asked this for ages, but please do leave us a review on iTunes. They definitely help us sort of bump up in the rankings and increase our download numbers. And if you'd like to help us out and help us grow what we're doing and spread our reach here at the Cone Edge, that's probably the easiest and simplest way to do it. It just takes a couple of minutes, and it helps us big time. If you leave us a review, I'll give you a shout out on the podcast, so go check it out, okay? If you'd like to find out more of how to do it, just go to theconeedge.com/iTunes. All the details are there. Until next time, from myself, Brad Brown, it's cheers.
We hope you enjoyed this episode of The Kona Edge. Don't forget to connect with us on social media. Simply search for The Kona Edge.